Our Dash for Cash winner, Justin Allgaier, driver of the number 7 Junior Motorsport Chevrolet. We'll go ahead and open up the floor for questions. Yep, Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. I guess you thought if there was caution after you, that after you take fresh tires, that you're in the catbird seat, and I guess why risk $100,000 for that?
I think for us the risk was pretty easy, trying to go for the win, right? I mean, we weren't the best car today. We felt like we made good strides in the balance, but we weren't the best car. And I think for us, as green flag, the way the green flag runs have been going, we felt like it was probably going to stay green till the end. And everybody was going to have to come. And, you know, getting that second and a half that we were getting on the fresh tires, I felt like would have netted us probably to the lead. And then at that point, you just try to hang on to it. So, you know, proud of Jim Pohlman for making that call. I mean, I think, you know, if it works out differently, he probably looks like a hero, right? We still end up winning the $100,000 and getting the Xfinity Series Dash for Cash, which I'm going to be honest with you, nerves were up a little bit at the end there, especially with those guys having tires and, you know, Sam getting the lucky dog with two cautions to go and then Sammy getting on the last caution. But, you know, ultimately, the guys did a great job. We had great pit stops all day. We made good adjustments. Like I said, we just needed to fire off a little bit better to start the race and feel like that, you know, if we were in a better position, I don't think we would have even gambled. But being in the position we were in and we were kind of bleeding a little bit there, we needed to try to make the most of it. And that was the best call.
All right, we'll stay up front with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. Were you aware of where you were at? I mean, 13th way back in the field to get to win the Dash for Cash. Were they telling you in your ear, you're good, you're clear? You know?
Oh, absolutely. At that point, you know, Sam was able to get the after he got the lucky dog and the caution came out, that put him to the back of the lead lap cars. And I knew that there was a decent amount of cars that were with me that waved around. But, you know, with a 10, 12 lap disparity on tires, like, it sometimes can be easier to get through there. So, you know, Eddie DeHaan did a great job of keeping me updated on where he was at. I was given everything I had. You know, a lot of those guys that I was racing with, heck, I think we passed a bunch of cars that were even on stickers, right? And we were able to kind of get by those guys. But, you know, I knew that we were going to have issues. And then it was just manage the gap, right? Don't get crashed. Don't put yourself in a bad spot. I ended up racing, I think it was the 38 maybe, that I ended up racing side by side with. And I figured if they can go three wide and go around us, I guess that's the best option for them, right? But again, you know, I think for us, you know, we weren't the best car today. And we had a little bit of house money with the other three having trouble. Listen, this is the weirdest Dash for Cash race I think I've ever been a part of. To have the other three a lap down for a majority of the race, to end up a lap down because of a green flag pit stop. I mean, it was like none of us wanted to win it, right? We were all trying to give it away. But, you know, P13, lucky 13, and car number 7, lucky 7, and walk out of here with a Dash for Cash win. So it's a good day.
We'll go right over here.
Nathan Stone with a podium finish. Justin, for a while, you're running around top five. The other three cars were a lap down. So just how did you approach that part of it for up until you had a pit?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. The one run there, I tried to save. So I guess it would have been the start of the third stage, right? I tried to save as much as I could at the beginning. Felt like we were doing a really good job. And when it was time to kind of, you know, reap the rewards of saving tires, I didn't have it. You know, I just felt like for us, the balance, we just, something was going on. I told him, I, you know, I don't know if we had something in the front end that maybe collapsed or broke, but I felt like just knowing what I know, like the beginning of the race where the car was, you know, something just felt a little bit off at the end of the race with the front end. And so we were trying to manage that the best we could. And you know, just at that point, I started falling back. And I think that's when, you know, Jim got the idea to maybe try to split that stage in half. You know, the way you got to run these races, you know, it's super odd. I mean, I guess the 20 and the 18 didn't pit on the comp caution. California, it was the best call, and today it was probably not, right? But for us, you know, after we pitted on that comp caution, we took tires, then it made it, you know, really difficult to figure out what the strategy was going to be. And I felt like we made the call to try to make the most of what we had, and you know, ultimately it bit us. But it's probably, I'm probably a little more upset with why the caution came out. I mean, it's a car on pit road, right? I saw two other cars spin out on the racetrack, or, you know, one blew right front and hit the wall and one spun out and there were no cautions. But then, you know, there's openings on pit road and we still get a caution with a car on pit road. So it's super frustrating in that regard, but that's just how it works. And we tried to make the most of the cars we were dealt after that.
Head back over here.
Adam Cheek, frontstretch.com. Justin, this is your fifth Dash for Cash win and first since 2018. You also won at Richmond in 2017, but it's been a while either way. But how does this one compare to this? I know you said it was the weirdest one to date.
Well, the so Matt Lederer from Xfinity and I have a running joke now because the race here in Richmond, actually, we dominated that race. And a late race caution came out. Somebody stayed out, then jumped the restart. I got passed, and then it was like a snowball effect, and I ended up, I think, third that day and won the Dash for Cash. And I literally went into the ceremony of the Dash for Cash beyond frustrated. Like, I was fuming mad at how the whole thing went down. And Matt's like, he's like, man, I've never seen somebody so angry that I just gave him a $100,000 check. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And again, what Xfinity does for the series and for the sport is truly unmatched, right? It's really, really cool. And it is a big deal, not only to myself to be that guy, but to also get that money back into the race team and, you know, help make these race cars better and better every week. So, you know, I've changed my approach, I would say, to the Dash for Cash and being more excited when you have the opportunity to go for it and when you have the opportunity to win it. You know, today was weird, though, because of how we all finished, right? I think given the same circumstances a year ago or 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 13th wasn't going to win the Dash for Cash, right? And today it did. So, you know, I guess in that regard, that's great. But I would love for it to be up there battling for a win. And, you know, if you run second and lose the Dash for Cash, you're upset. But if you run 13th and win it, that's just really odd. So I'm gonna smile all the way to the bank on this one.
All right. Any other additional questions? Yep, up front here with Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Justin, obviously, with this series, it's as much a part of drivers like yourself, but as much younger drivers. So with Chandler winning, that's two guys with him and Sammy getting their first victory early in the season. Obviously, they're with good teams, so understand that. But do you see anything with either one of those drivers about, you know, even if you're in good equipment, you still have to do things? And quite frankly, this easily could have been Chandler's second win of the year in one sense already.
Yeah, I mean, Chandler did a fantastic job today. You know, I thought, you know, they've been really, really good all year. The whole college camp has been really good this year on short runs, right? That's been their bread and butter, and it has been for a number of years now. So obviously they did a great job, and they put themselves in a great position. But you still have to have somebody holding the steering wheel and execute, and he did a great job. And, you know, Josh Berry was really, really good on the long run today, like unbelievably good on the long run today. And, you know, the way the cautions fell ultimately put them in a really bad spot, and I think they finished third, right? So, you know, I think that it's interesting how the race played out, but, you know, between Chandler and Sammy, super, super talented race car drivers, and as you mentioned, both with great race teams, great crew chiefs, great spotters. You know, so they're obviously using the tools that they're given, and you're right, Chandler could have won too. I think Sammy had a fast enough car today to maybe, you know, challenge for a win. So, you know, the future for our sport is actually really, really bright, and you know, obviously the Xfinity names are made here, right? I'm probably not in that boat. I mean, I guess at one point in my career I was, but, you know, it's still cool to see. We lost some guys that went out last year, and it's cool to see the names of drivers that have replaced them and the way that they've raced and the way they're getting it done. Obviously, is really, really talented, and they're both very respectful race car drivers too. And I think that, you know, here, every person that's probably set up on this table and you guys have talked to all week, they've talked about respect, and it's been a common theme. But you got two fast race car drivers that are super respectful. You know, a lot of these younger kids that are coming up need to look at those two and say, hey, these are great role models to follow along with. And there's plenty of them in our sport. You know, the bad apple always ruins it for the rest of us. But those two have really done a great job, and there's a reason why they're up front and winning races.
And in regards to that, I did want to ask you about, as a veteran presence in the sport and somebody who has seen what it's like in Cup and come and over here and had success even still, with the talk about respect is about the younger drivers. It's about how they learn from an early age and so forth, and how the game has changed. So as somebody who is a veteran, I would assume a garage leader in a way, is there a responsibility on you to do that? Or is it a case of like, hey, I've got 50 other things to worry about. It's not my job to be, you know, somebody's guardian in a sense.
Well, I think we're in a different time. You know, first of all, The cars are more resilient, right? You look at 20 years ago, if you were out there being an aggressor, you didn't make it into the race, right? Like that's why guys drove with respect. A guy like Mark Martin, Jeff Burton get brought up a lot because of how they raced. Ultra successful, Matt Kenseth, Kevin Harvick, ultra successful, but they were super respectful on the racetrack. Now, they knew how to put you in a bad spot, but they still were ultra respectful. And what we've seen that's changed is the cars are more resilient, and there's just more on the line, right? And look, this isn't young kids that's causing the issue. It's every driver in the field, right? It's veterans. It's guys that have been around for a little bit. It's young guys coming up because it's accepted. And then if you're not being the aggressor, then you're getting run over, right? So then you get run over enough times, and you're just like, I'm sick of it. I'm just going to go back. You know, Joey Logano, I think, has been very adamant. Like, hey, you see me in the garage. You see me outside the racetrack. I'm best friend. We get to the racetrack. It's 110%. I'm going for it, and I don't care who's in my way. I'm going through them, right? That's the mentality that I think has become the norm, and it makes it really tough because the more it becomes normal here, the more it bleeds down to the short tracks, local, you know, Friday and Saturday night. And at some point, we all run out of money. That's the hard part, right? You can only crash stuff so many times before, you know, it hits rock bottom. So, yeah, I'm hopeful that more drivers are speaking up about it and talking about it. And, you know, look, when I started in this sport many moons ago, you either got handled on the racetrack or you got talked to after the race was over. And I just don't know that line of communication, even from a veteran like myself, is accepted or warranted. But sometimes I think, you know, as drivers, we're our own worst enemies, and it's disappointing to see what it's kind of become.
Do you look at things that you've done over the last 5 or so years since the Composite Body Finish, you've been able to be more aggressive, and look at how you drive now compared to how you used to drive, and I don't want to say embarrassed, but maybe shock, or how you look at what?
Absolutely. I've made decisions. You gotta look within first, right? I've made decisions that because I could and I did and won some races doing it, right? I think if you look at 2023 and the driving style that I've had this year and what I've tried to do to be better and different, I feel like that I wish I would have done that 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. I pulled over for a lot of guys today. The hard part is when you pull over for somebody and you let them go because they're faster and you run them back down and then you get run into, you get chopped, you get blocked. It's disappointing, but, you know, it's going to take all of us as a collective to make this better. It's not bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the product. We've seen more exciting racing than I've ever seen in my entire career in these last couple years. But I'm hopeful that we can at least find a common ground with everybody that, hey, this is the line. This is acceptable. This isn't. You know, and ultimately, if we all can abide by that, it'll sort itself out. Really, honestly, like I think the way that it did 20 years ago, it sorted itself out, and I think it's going to tune out.
Mm-hmm. We'll take another question right here.
Hey, Justin, Kevin Schwartz with the Racing Times. Your dad is Mike Theodore Allgaier. Kevin Schwartz with Racing Times.
You've been around forever. You know, your dad's Mike Theodore Allgaier. Never forget early 90s at Springfield when he was wanting to show me your midget, the AC duck on the side of the car, and you jumped on it, smiles and everything. You, to take a step back further from Dustin's question from, you know, ARCA days, Xfinity days, Cup days, back to the Xfinity days, you go back even further into the 90s, racing for your dad. We all know, most people know what a respectable, great guy your dad is. What would your dad say to you, and what would it be like on the ride home if you drove like some of these kids are today?
Well, like I said, it was a different time, but we had a lot of hard conversations. You know, I think, I have a lot of respect for my dad because of the person that he is, and you know, he's such a great, great man. Not even just to me, right? Like, he's a great dad, but he's just a great dude in general, and we had a lot of tough conversations. But, you know, on Sunday morning, Monday morning, whenever it was, we were going back to shop, Wednesday night, whatever. You know, if I tore my stuff up, I was fixing it. And I was working in the tire shop to make enough money so that I could even, you know, pay my bills and have rent. And then go to the race shop at night, work on race cars all night. You know, it kept me out of trouble. You know, that's for sure. But really, honestly, like, you know, you put your heart, soul, and here. I think Ryan Preece last week said it. You know, Ryan comes from a different style, like a different background. He comes from a lot more like I do, and you've worked on your own race cars, and you've built, you know, you've thrashed all night after you get wrecked on a Friday night so that you can go to the racetrack Saturday. You know, no offense to some of these guys that are coming up, but that's not an option anymore, right? I mean, if you're not 14, 15 years old running ARCA, if you're not 16, I guess, running a truck on a short track, 18 years old running in the Xfinity Series or truck or cup, these guys feel like they're too old, right? But that's not really the case. It's not. So, you know, I think it's just a different background, different style, different upbringing. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, like I said, the racing's been great. It's hard to be upset when the on-track product has been good, right? You know, let's be honest. Some of our fans really enjoy the carnage. Some of them don't. But we got to cater to everybody. And I guess that, you know, if you didn't have passion and you didn't love it, you wouldn't put yourself in the positions you put yourself in. So I think for us, you know, today's a great example. We willed out a 13th place finish when it did not look – it was bleak, you know, at certain points. You could have got upset, could have started wrecking people. But, you know, my goal was to go out there and do the best job I could and finish the race the way we did. And you know, ultimately, I think when you do the right thing, it pays dividends.
All right. Any further questions? All right. Thanks so much, Justin. Congratulations.
Thank you.